grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I don't know if I can top that kind of energy this morning, but I'll give it my best shot. As we all know, God sent Jesus into the world, who died on the cross for us in an act of incredible love. I could now say amen and sit down, but there is more to this story. As I was just talking about with the kids, this is essentially Paul's telling of Jesus' death and resurrection, but he isn't using story. He is trying to explain to us why Jesus died and what it means to us in our lives here in Roseville in the 21st century. Now, we might wonder, did Jesus' death and resurrection really matter? Look at the kind of world we live in. Just this week in the news, we have heard about tornadoes ravaging Ohio and Indiana, about more rain and flooding, so farmers are still not able to plant their fields. And while it's so wet here, other places are dry. And there are Canadian wildfires that caused that haze we had for several days from their smoke. And those are just the natural disasters. We heard about another shooting in Virginia, and look at how immigrants are being treated at the U.S.-Mexican border. And much as we hate to admit it, racism and discrimination are still very, very real in our world. There is lots of suffering in this world that we live in. But Jesus did not promise that life would be easy. Jesus himself suffered. His disciples suffered. Paul was thrown into prison because of all the things that he was boldly proclaiming. And we assume that he was killed because of his faith. Suffering is very real in our world. And Paul talks about it in this reading, about how suffering causes endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. And that is sometimes the case. But I don't think it's the whole story. Sometimes suffering causes despair and depression and grief. And there is more to this story than just suffering. We can probably all agree that this occurs because of God's love. So let's ponder that question of why did God choose to do it this way? Why did Jesus come into the world but then die for us? How many of you are familiar with the story of the Chronicles of Narnia? Raise your hand. Lots of you. I wanted to talk a little bit about that story this morning. It is set in London during World War II, and there was bombing going on in London, and so these four children are sent to live in a big house in the country with an absent-minded professor and a crabby housekeeper. So most of the time, they are left to their own devices, and they are playing hide-and-seek in this great big house. It is Lucy, the youngest, who discovers this wardrobe, and she opens the doors and goes inside, but there isn't a back to the wardrobe. And pretty soon she finds herself in a place called Narnia. This enchanting land is beautiful and covered in sparkling snow. And she is so filled with curiosity and wonder and awe that she hurries back through the wardrobe to tell her brother and sister about it and bring them along as well. And so they all go through the wardrobe into Narnia. And this is a place that it is always winter, but never Christmas. And the reason for that is this woman who is the White Witch. She comes across as very enchanting, like a queen, and befriends them, and yet she is pure evil. And it is her spell that has made it always winter. Well, they get into plenty of tangles, as kids often do. And they discover that there's only one person who could stop this evil and this spell. And that is a lion named Aslan. They get to know Aslan. and there is this struggle back and forth between Aslan and the White Witch. And it turns out that even though Aslan did nothing wrong, that he dies to save them. And they cannot understand why this incredible, noble lion, who is wonderful and full of love, has to die. I don't know where the boys are at this point in the story, but the girls are right there. And there they are laying with Aslan after he has died. And it is the saddest part of this story. They have lost this friend, this hero, this noble lion. Well, the line about always winter, never Christmas gives us a clue that this is not just a children's story. C.S. Lewis is masterful in his writing, that this story also has Christian connotations and symbolism, and that Aslan is the Jesus figure in this story. Because as the sun rises, Aslan is resurrected. He is no longer dead. He gave his life innocently. And now he is back in all his glory. Very much like Jesus rises from the dead for us. As humans, we cannot understand why God chose to save us in this way, sending Jesus into the world to die for us. And we as a human race have struggled with, how does this work? And one of the theories people have come up with is very much like this story, that somebody had to die and take the punishment for our sins. And that was what Jesus did for us. Jesus, who was completely innocent, did this for us out of an act of incredible love. And that is what Paul is trying to explain, our reconciliation with God, how we are brought back into right relationship. And verse 5 of our reading for today, I think, is the crux of what Paul is getting at. Let's read it together. The Holy Spirit has poured out God's love into our hearts. The act of the Holy Spirit, who is God here with us right now, has poured out God's love into our hearts. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. And it might surprise you to know that the English language sometimes has shortcomings. Paul originally wrote the letter in Greek. With all the big words today, it still sounded a bit like Greek to me. And in seminary, we have the opportunity to study Greek. Please don't ask me to say a whole lot in Greek. But what I did learn is that it is lots of work for the translators to try to translate from one language to another, especially when one language can do something others can't. And in Greek, there are forms of verbs that we don't have in English. So this sounds like the Holy Spirit has poured out God's love into our hearts. Past tense, happened once, over and done with. Which is partly true. Jesus died for us once, and that is all we need. We are granted this forgiveness of sins through our baptism. But that is not the whole story. It could be translated this way. The Holy Spirit pours out God's love into our hearts. Present tense, right now. 2,000 years ago, throughout history, and here today. And that is a promise to us. The Holy Spirit pours out. But that still isn't the end of the story. It isn't just now. It isn't going to end. We don't have to worry about that. The Holy Spirit keeps pouring out God's love into our hearts. So this is your Greek lesson for the morning. But more important, what I want you to know is how this love is ongoing. This might be a better way to explain it. It's like the Energizer Bunny. God's love is going and 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 keeps on going forever and ever. Amen.